Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you. My name is Nigel Parker, and I am the minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. We're pleased to bring you this Word of Grace broadcast here on CJMQ. So welcome to you, whatever your church connection, indeed, whether you have a church connection or not. Today, 21st November, is marked in many churches as Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the Christian year, and next Sunday we begin with the first Sunday in Advent. David was a famous king in the Bible. Here's a psalm of David of what he wanted to do when he was king, Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, "Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob." Behold, we have heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. The Lord is King. Lift up your voice. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Your Lord and King adore. King of kings, majesty. All hail King Jesus. Our loving God, there are many wonderful hymns and psalms and spiritual songs which tell out of your glory, which invite us to celebrate you as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We rejoice to think that at the heart of this universe, it is a God of love who has made all that there is and who is wrapping everything up to his praise and glory. This we have sung. This we have believed, and in our best moments we would say yea and amen. But we acknowledge that there are times when we think, is this world really under a loving king's control? Moments and times when our faith in a sovereign king wobbles and wavers. At moments like those, we remember King Jesus, who stood before the powers of this world and testified that his kingdom is coming. We thank you that in him you've promised your abiding presence with us, both in times of joy and sorrow. You've promised that we will be upheld and strengthened in our struggles by the God who is our rock and fortress. You have promised to be our guide and hope when we've lost our way in life, and our shepherd king who tenderly cares for vulnerable creatures through life's troubles. It is you whom we seek to worship, our awesome God, beginning and end, an ever faithful Lord. So, Lord, meet with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I said that this was Christ the King Sunday. That's not an old tradition. It only goes back to 1925, when the feast day was proclaimed by Pope Pius XI. 1925 was a dark time for our world. The world had only just emerged from the war to end all wars, and the signs were everywhere was that it was hurtling towards another. There was a worldwide economic recession, people desperately looking for answers. And there were outspoken leaders who believed that they had the answers to those questions. One was the Italian leader Mussolini, who had just celebrated his third year in office. Another was a young rabble-rouser by the name of Adolf Hitler, who had been out of jail for a year by that stage, and whose Nazi party was rapidly growing in popularity across Germany. The world was watching, waiting for answers, and listening to these powerful men.
All the armies of the world will someday gather, and they'll pass before the great reviewing stand, and they'll beat their swords and weapons in the plowshares, and the Prince of Peace will give the last command. Unobscured, the sun will drive away the shadows at the dawning of that great eternal day. And there'll be no sounds of crying from the ghettos, for all grief and pain and death will pass away.
When King Jesus comes to live with us again, he will show his righteous love to every man. Wars and strife will all be past, there'll be peace on earth at last. When King Jesus comes to live with us again, there'll be peace on earth at last, when King Jesus comes to live with us again.
Limelight. And the Pope felt that it was time to call on Christian people everywhere to declare their allegiance to the rule of Christ. A reading today from John's Gospel, chapter 18, at verse 33. And then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Amen. Pontius Pilate was the character with the unenviable job of keeping the province of Judea in line. And he was, according to the Jewish historian Philo, a ruthless overlord, by nature rigid and stubbornly harsh, of spiteful disposition and an exceedingly wrathful man. His career was marked by bribes, acts of violence, outrages, cases of spiteful treatment, constant murders without trial, and ceaseless and most grievous brutality. Hardly sounds like a man of truth, does he? Indeed, today's gospel reading portrays him as a weak and a vacillating man, torn between his external fears and his inner doubts. He's also a cynic. "So, you are a king," he asks Jesus sarcastically as he threatens him from his position of power. It's a masterfully told dialogue that John the Evangelist presents, an encounter between the local leading power merchant of the government on the one hand and the apparently powerless figure of Jesus on the other. And yet, as the story progresses, we realise that it's Jesus who is in control, whereas Pilate seems to be quite powerless. He wants to release Jesus, but can't. His job is to administer justice, but he's too scared to do what he knows is right. And so he moves back and forth between Jesus and his accusers, eventually symbolically washing his hands of the situation in a desperate attempt to excuse himself from responsibility. So much for Pilate being a king. He certainly doesn't seem to be in control. So who or what is king? Pilate's response echoes down to us across the ages, a question to end all questions. What is truth? Here is the ultimate arbiter for Pilate. What is truth? Surely the real king, the real authority for Pilate and for all our lives is truth. In 2016, the Oxford Dictionary declared post-truth as the word of the year. It was defined as relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion or personal belief. In other words, it's not the objective truth, the absolute truth that governs, but rather the passion with which something is delivered or the underlying condition or context. And that's become heightened in US presidential elections. There's an inherent scepticism as to whether we can know any kind of truth. And so we get fake news. A BuzzFeed analysis found that the top fake news stories about the 2016 presidential election received more engagement on Facebook than top stories from major media outlets. The term's been used to cast doubt upon legitimate news. How do we know what truth is? How do we know what's real? That's a big question. What is truth? The trouble with Pilate is that he didn't hang around for an answer. He thought it was an unanswerable question. We'll never know if he asks his question out of contempt or curiosity, hunger or anger, but it doesn't matter because he didn't hang around to get the answer. Why is Jesus truth? Here's four quick things. Firstly, the power of King Jesus in the hearts of his people lies much in the fact that he brought unalloyed truth. When he spoke as if he were telling the truth. He wasn't reporting an opinion. He wasn't reporting something secondhand. He was putting his own stamp of authority and dignity and of power upon it, as if he were speaking the truth utterly, completely, and overall. He spoke as if he were the truth. Secondly, Jesus put the highest value on truth. He taught that worship, that pious thing that we can do as human beings, must be true, spiritual, and of the heart, not empty, meaningless, ritually repetitive. People of every age feel that truth. They accept gladly the truth that pious words of prayer or prayers are vanity unless the heart has living worship within it, unless truth is within the heart. Our Lord taught that all false living was base and loathsome. He loved sinners, but he poured contempt on those who exploited the poor while at the same time giving ostentatious alms and long prayers and frequent fasts and tithing the minutiae of leaves of mint and cumin. He cared nothing for whitewashed sepulchres and platters with outsides made clean. He judged the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. All that was false living was base and loathsome to him. But fourthly, he died for truth as he had lived for truth. C.H. Spurgeon wrote, "Did he not mirror all truth in his life? See how clearly he set forth the truth that God is love. How melodious, like a peal of Christmas bells, was his witness to the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have eternal life. He bore witness that God is just. How solemnly he proclaimed that. His flowing wounds, his dire agonies, rang out the solemn truth as with a knell that even the dead might hear. He bore witness to God's demand for truth in the inward parts. Did he not bear witness to the truth that God had resolved to make himself a new people and a true people? Where else are we going to find a truth to guide us through life as well as through death?" Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the embrace of your love, your unfailing faithfulness and kindness, for your care, protection and provision, and for the continuous assurance that you are in control of the world. This we believe because your Son has said it is so, and with his life he lived it, and by his death he died for it. And we rest in the assurance that he will come again and bring all things to their fulfillment and completion. Lord, you know too well that we worry and have fears, that sometimes doubts and apprehensions seem to overwhelm us. Often our faith is little or there's none, yet you call us to come to you. Your ears are open to our prayers. We pray for all who suffer, for all for whom this global pandemic is a daily nightmare, for the sick and those who care for the sick, for those whose jobs are affected, who worry about the next meal or how to be safe, for those battling with loneliness and isolation. Lord, be our healer, our provider, our abiding presence. We pray for all those who can live at the sharp end of falsehood, who have to live with injustice, whose lives are filled with violence and abuse, those who face discrimination and treated unfairly, those who ask how long before there is relief. We pray for those in authority as they make tough decisions regarding the planet and we live on, the country in which we live, the community in which we spend our days. Be their wisdom and strength. And we pray for your church. Help us to find new ways of being a community where all are truly and honestly welcome, where our liturgies do not leave out anyone, where we are relevant to old and new generations. Make us people who live the truth. Give us hearts that trust you completely, and grant us grace to do what is right and true. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.